Now, as time from now, I'll be taking you through the night, setting off with a performance from Prague of Martinu's First Symphony. But now, at 11:45, jazz lineup with Julian Joseph.
Hello. Today I bring you a set from the High Priest of the Hammond Organ, Dr. Lonnie Smith. We caught up with him at the Glasgow Jazz Festival in June. Saxophone giant Jean Toussaint recently returned from New York, where he was performing with drummer Jeff Tane Watt's recently formed quartet, with Dave Kikowski on piano and James Genus on bass. They've also been rehearsing for the quartet's forthcoming recording session. Well, we look forward to that. And Jean Toussaint graced the lineup studios, and we'll hear that conversation later. I just have time for a couple of CDs, so let's get moving. First up is a CD from some of our most established and celebrated musicians in a tasteful quartet with well-chosen repertoire, all under the name Great Wee Band. And they are Henry Lowther on trumpet, Jim Mullen on the guitar, Dave Green on bass, and Stu Butterfield on the drums. This is For All We Know. For All We Know, in the hands of The Great Wee Band, featuring Henry Lowther, Jim Mullen, Dave Green, and Stu Butterfield. The album is called The Sound of Music, and it's out now on the Trio label. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph. In the early 80s, there was an explosion of talent playing jazz in the United States, and the spiritual father of that movement, which included Branford Marsalis and Wynton Marsalis, Billy Pierce, Donald Brown, Mulgrew Miller, Donald Harrison, Terence Blanchard, and John Toussaint, and a host of others, was Art Blakey, with whom they all played. John Toussaint was part of that explosion, and after 10 years on the New York scene, he moved to London, where we had our own explosion. It's now been over 20 years, and Jean is firmly established in Britain as one of our most gifted saxophonists, composers, and educators. Well, I caught up with him a couple of weeks ago and asked him about his recent work with Jeff Tane Watts and how that came about.
He's always written so much music, and I guess with Branford, obviously, you know, Branford's the leader, so the opportunity to play a lot of his music, even though he did get to play some of it, you know, wasn't, you know, as frequent, so he wanted to concentrate more on his own things, you know, so that was one of the reasons.
And how's it been for you, like, just reconnecting with him musically?
Oh, it's been fantastic, you know. There's so much, I feel like I'm in a position of learning once again, you know, because the learning curve is quite steep, you know, so. But it's good, you know, I mean, they're quite patient with me, and I'm working hard on the stuff.
Now, when you say the learning curve is quite steep, for the listeners, I mean, they may not quite realize what it is a musician of your stature would have to go through in order to adjust or to acclimatize to playing with Tane and the guys in the band. Just tell us who the other guys in the band are.
Well, it's James Genus on bass and Dave Kikowski on piano. And I guess those guys have been playing together for many, many years because they're all based in New York. And so I've been in London for over 20 years and enjoying myself working with the likes of yourself, you know, and learning a lot from you as well, you know, and some of the other guys, Jason Ribello, Andrew McCormack, and, you know. But the New York thing is very different. The New York approach to playing, I guess, is very different. And when you're on the level of Tane, you know, it's something else. So I'm sort of like re-familiarizing myself with that kind of, you know, frantic
intensity,
you know.
Well, let's turn to the album Live in Paris and London. It's on Spacetime Records. And now Spacetime Records is, you've had an association with them for a long while, Xavier Felgerolles. Tell us a little bit about Spacetime Records and what their remit is and how they work.
Well, Xavier is a French man. He's based in Paris, and he loves jazz. He's crazy about jazz. In fact, the first time I met Xavier was with you, actually, when I was working in your band. Back in the early 90s, I think. And we were invited to play Clermont-Ferrand Festival for him, you know. And it was through you, you know. And then Xavier is a very close personal friend of a good friend of ours, pianist Donald Brown.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
Donald was back in the day in Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers with me. My last year, he had came back, you know. And we've sort of like done a lot more over the years through Xavier,
right?
Because Donald would always ask Xavier, you know, to get me, because I'm in London. So when he comes to France, you know, Donald would request that I be on the gig.
Sure.
And that's how the recording thing came about, you know. Once I started doing some more with Donald Brown, and Xavier thought, well, you know, why not do your own record?
And so now we turn to this one, which is Live in Paris and London, and it actually says exactly what it does on the tin, doesn't it? Half of it's recorded in Paris, half of it London. Now, why did you choose it to be that way?
Well, it just happened that way. We record a lot of gigs, you know. I've been recording my gigs in London at the 606, and Xavier has been recording me in France whenever I play a concert over there.
Now, the people in your band, you guys have been playing together for quite a while now. Mm. Tell us a little bit about each of the guys in the band. I mean, Andrew McCormack, Jerome Bard.
Jerome Bard is a Parisian guitarist, mm-hmm. and he has an association with Xavier. Mm-hmm. So,
and he's I got a good to know player. Him.
He's a good player. Mm. And through Donald Brown as well, because he's on several of Donald's records.
Right.
You know, so I did some work with him with Donald.
Okay. And,
you know, mm-hmm. So when we were doing the Paris gig, Xavier mentioned some people to guests on there, and I thought right away, Jerome. Yeah, let's get Jerome down to do some stuff. You know.
And he plays a Bardophone.
Well,
it's a guitar.
It's a guitar with seven strings.
Okay. You know?
So he puts a string on it and he calls it the Bardophone.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to, you know, put an extra note on the piano. That's call it the Julian Forte.
Yeah.
Larry Bartley.
Larry Bartley, I've known for as long as I've been in London. You know, he's been on the scene from the time I got here. He was one of the bassists along with Wayne Batchelor and some of the other guys, Alec Dankworth. But Larry has grown and grown and grown and grown and is continuing to grow.
Yeah.
You know, he's just, you know.
Blossomed.
And he's so passionate about the history of the music and the language, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, that his record collection is one of the largest that I've seen, you know. And he just listens to the music and really studies it. And it's a joy to have him in the band. You know, working with us.
And he's an interesting composer as well.
I remember
his own album had very, very strong compositions.
Definitely. He's a great composer.
Yeah. And talking about a strong composer and musician all around, Troy Miller.
Mm. I met Troy at the Guildhall. Mm-hmm. On his last year, when he was about to graduate, mm-hmm. Simon Purcell told me, I got this drummer I want you to meet, you know. I'll set up a little jam session and you just come and play with us, you know. And because I had been at the Guildhall, but Troy was on the undergraduate course and I just do the postgrads, you know, on the jazz course. Mm-hmm. And he was studying, you know, classical percussion, mm-hmm. you know, as well as jazz.
Right.
You know? And I came in and that was it. You know, I was like, wow, this guy's been here all this time, you know. So from then, I took his number and started calling him, you know, right away. You know, we've been, and this is way back in the mid-90s, you know, sometime. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This tune, Random Discourse, is interesting in that it's a group composition.
Yeah.
And just talk us through what the idea of a group composition means to this band under your leadership.
Well, we got into the habit of, during the set, of doing something that was not discussed, you know, before. You know, we wouldn't say anything about it, as you could hear on the track. I just started playing, and everybody sort of make up what they want, whatever I'm playing implies to them that they, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how, you know, so it's a conversation between the four of us, amongst the four of us, you know. And it just developed like that. And so there's no right or wrong. You know, there's no, nothing is concrete. It can go anywhere. You know, it's completely open and free, you know.
Seems to me it's about the moment.
Yeah, it's about the moment. Yeah.
Which, of course, is the point when we improvise.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
That was Random Discourse, written by All the Band and taken from the album Live in Paris and London. I'm talking to Jean Toussaint, and I next asked him about his composition Haiyan Yundan.
Yeah, that is, I was interested and still is in Shotokan karate, mm-hmm. and was taking lessons and classes. And Haiyan Yundan is the fifth kata of Shotokan. Mm-hmm. And that kata, I failed, you know, my first go at it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was really hard for me. So I thought I'd write a composition that kind of reflected that.
Now, you have another guest other than Jerome. You have Bennett McLean, one of the a very gifted pianist. Yeah. He plays on Round Midnight.
Yes, he does.
Tell us about Bennett and Round Midnight.
Well, what happened is, as I said, we recorded a lot of several gigs at the 606, mm-hmm. you know. And Bennett was depping for Andrew McCormack. Mm-hmm. And he did such a fantastic job on that track, you know, that I said, yeah, Bennett, I want to use this and I want to put this on the record. You know? Mm-hmm. He said, yeah, go ahead, man, go ahead. And, you know, he's a fantastic player. It's different from Andrew. It's a different approach, mm-hmm. you know.
You seem to have a great insight in choosing your musicians because, you know, each of these guys are great composers in their own right, but they have a great sensitivity to one another so that they work really well in a band situation. Mm. Is there something specific that you're really looking for when you see a new musician and you think, oh, I might want to play with him, is it?
Yeah, well, I'm looking for attention to detail, mm-hmm. listening. You know, mm-hmm. listening is very important. A lot of people just play on automatic, mm. and they don't react to the sounds around them. They already have in their mind what they're going to do before mm-hmm. they get up there. Mm-hmm. And if a musician is working like that, then I kind of shy away from that because I want the sound that you're doing to imply what I'm going to do.
Right.
You know, because we're having a conversation. Mm. It's not like I'm going to just talk all over you, you know. And if you have in your mind what you're going to do already, what licks you're going to play already, then, you know, there's nothing left to chance, you know. So that's the kind of musician I look for, people who, like, really react to the sound that they're hearing at the moment.
And some of these guys, I think, sometimes are a bit of unsung heroes. I think particularly both Andrew and Bennett, mm. you know.
Yeah.
Andrew and Bennett could do with a lot more praise and a lot more notoriety,
Definitely.
You know? And then where does one go? And then how does someone become someone like you?
Well, that passion has to be real and strong, mm-hmm. right? And then you just put those hours in, you know, and go out and try to reach out to as many different people of like minds, you know, get to know all these people and try to create something, try to make work happen. Yourself.
Well, Jean, thank you for bringing your passion and speaking to us about your music and your career. And look forward to you coming back and speaking to us again. Thank you so much, Jean Toussaint.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Jean Toussaint on soprano saxophone, and The Bean Counter, taken from his latest album, Live in Paris and London. The album features Andrew McCormack on piano, Larry Bartley on bass, Troy Miller on the drums, and is out now on the Space Time record label. And our thanks to Jean Toussaint for coming in to speak with us. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph. Our concert set today comes from Dr. Lonnie Smith. I mentioned at the top of the program Smith's high priestliness, which is often how he's described, because of his long plaited goatee beard and the cane, much like a kung fu master from a 1970s Hong Kong film. His music is very much from the jazz funk mold, and his approach on Hammond organ is the very definition of the style. He's steeped in the jazz Hammond organ tradition, where blues and gospel are paramount, and the organist also holds down the bass with his feet. He's a master of tension and release, often using repeated notes to reel the listener into an idea, with melodic follow-through utilizing the blues skillfully. Lonnie's first gigs were played at Buffalo's hottest club, the Pine Grill, where he quickly came to the attention of musicians like Jack McDuff, Lou Donaldson, George Benson, and the agent Jimmy Boyd, who signed Smith to record with Grant Green. Soon after, he moved to New York City and began playing regularly in George Benson's quartet. After performing with Lou Donaldson and recording the seminal jazz gem Alligator Boogaloo, Smith was signed to Blue Note Records. Before Dr. Smith took the stage, Jazz Lineup caught a few words with him and put it to him that the Hammond organ has been many times copied but never equaled.
You know, the beauty of that instrument it has, you have the tone wheel and you have all the tubes, and it's massive inside. You have, I don't know how many wires in there. And sometimes, you know, they cut the organ down and they take all these wires, put them on the side, and no foot pedals. And so they can't quite get that sound, the nuances that you get, the overtones that you get, all those little things. And Suzuki, Hammond Suzuki, has mastered that, the little overtones in the sounds, in the drawbars and things. So it's very close, but the other little ones there, they don't quite have that yet.
We then asked him about the marriage between Lawrence Hammond and Donald Leslie, who invented the rotating Leslie speaker that gives the Hammond that distinctive tone.
That speaker, it was a marriage that you couldn't break. When Leslie came out with that, it was like, oh boy, you can just hear that sound. And today we, you know, a lot of organists and a lot of people try to sometimes change it, you know, because like it doesn't have a lot of wattage at home, you know, about 40 to 60 watts. But the sound, how can you get that much out of that sound? Because it's big, you think it would be huge, which it is, but the amplifiers come through louder than the speaker.
Dr. Lonnie Smith. And so to the concert recorded at the Old Fruit Market as part of this year's Glasgow Jazz Festival. The bass is provided by Smith, playing the Hammond organ bass pedals. On guitar is Jonathan Kreisberg, and the drummer is Jameer Williams. They open with a Dr. Lonnie Smith original called Backtrack. Bo-do-do, sing, say, bop, boom, ba-do-do, stop, up, ooh-ah. Bo-do-do, stop, bo-do-do, boom, ba-do-do, stay up. Boom, bop, boom, bop, boom. Thank you.
Thank you. Called Backtrack. This one is called Mellow Mood. Thank you.
wobbling, baba do bam dan dee loo dum, da da dee sing dum bum dum dee 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 dum, come do dee dee hum dum dee da dee 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 dum dum, oh da do dum ba do dee ding da dee 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 ba ba, da ba and da ba dee 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 da la we da da, ba do 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 dee ba dee dee do we dum bam dee 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 do, da da do ba ba da dee dee do 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 dee dum, dum ba do do.
This tune goes something like this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We're going to play a tune which we recorded. It's called, we're going to feature our percussionist, Jemiah Williams. Called Freedom Jazz Dance. Thank you.
Freedom Jazz Dance by Eddie Harris, played by Dr. Lonnie Smith at the Hammond Organ, with Jonathan Kreisberg on guitar and the drummer Jameel Williams. That set was recorded at the Old Fruit Market, Glasgow, as part of this year's Glasgow International Jazz Festival. If you want to hear all or part of that set again, you can by going to the Radio 3 homepage and follow the links to Jazz Lineup and the Listen Again feature. Vocalist extraordinaire Bobby McFerrin has a new album out called Vocabularies, and you may have caught our interview with him a few weeks ago. It sees him teamed up with vocalist and producer Roger Treese. McFerrin and Treese put together a choir with African and Eastern touches wrapped in harmony, Pedro Eustache on duduk, and the superb Donnie McCaslin on soprano saxophone. This is Messages.
Choose the art and the change.
The glorious sound of Bobby McFerrin and his choir, and that was Messages. The album is called Vocabularies, and it's a feast for the ears and out now on the MSC label. It's a sad time right now in jazz as we mourn the loss of some important people in the jazz community. Drum great Martin Drew, famous as one third of the Oscar Peterson Trio, died at the end of July. Martin's tenure with the trio was in its 1970s heyday with bassist Niels Henning Orsted Pedersen. He was the force behind the recently updated Jazz Couriers with Jim Hart, Gareth Williams and Mornington Lockett, and was popular on the scene with other bands from all generations. Martin was a larger-than-life character who was a friend and mentor to many and will be sorely missed as one of the important musicians from this scene. A day earlier came the tragic death of yet another drummer, Chris Dagley, who was killed in a road accident. Chris brought joy to many, most recently as a member of pianist James Pearson's trio, who reside as the house band at Ronnie Scott's Jazz Club in London. He emerged with a crop of young talent who came through Nijo, and when he entered the profession, played with all the greats from jazz, rock and pop. He had great generosity as a player and a person, and always impressed on the bandstand with his musicality, great technique and joyfulness. He had the respect of his peers and could play with anyone. Chris, rest in peace. We'll miss you. We sadly learned that the founder and editor of Crescendo magazine, Dennis Matthews, died also towards the end of July. Dennis worked tirelessly for jazz and indeed supported this program too in its early days, and on one edition of the magazine featured a session with the BBC Big Band on the front cover. All of us at Lineup appreciate the work he did, and our thoughts are with his family at this sad time. Also, I regret to inform you that brilliant trumpeter and British jazz legend Harry Beckett also passed away last week. He recently featured in the Jazz Britannia festivities at the Barbican. Jazz Lineup recorded that event. Our deepest condolences go out to Harry, Dennis, Chris, and Martin's families. Now to some good news. The Brecon Jazz Festival relaunched this weekend and ended tonight. Let's hope it was a great success and that perhaps we can join you there in the future. And finally, we wish happy birthday to legendary jazz singer Annie Ross, who just turned 80 on the 25th of July. Annie was in concert last year on this program and still in fine form. Happy birthday, Annie. That's it for this week. Join me next week for a concert by Swedish trombone legend Nils Landgren. Check out Jazz on 3 tomorrow night, where Jez Nelson presents performances from pianist John Taylor playing in duo with saxophonist Julian Arguiles for the first time, and the Neon Quartet recorded at Ronnie Scott's second Brit Jazz Festival. Till next week, from me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
Welcome to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night with me, Jonathan Swain. A pair of Martineau symphonies over the next couple of hours. All six of the Martineau symphonies were written while he was living in the States, an exile from the Nazis initially, and then when the communists took over in Czechoslovakia from them too. And like Rachmaninoff, once he'd left his homeland, it was for good. As late as 1951, while living in New York, he wrote in a letter, "I still long very much for home. My work is still Czech and connected with my homeland." Well, this is his first symphony, written in 1942, the year after he arrived in the States. Its tragic third movement was a reaction to news of the Nazi massacre at Lidice,